Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
This month here, you know,
weather kind of got a little better, but from what I understand, it's going to come back at us. So they better get ready and don't put your guard down yet, you know. Kind of too early for that, you know. They call us Ma'uyo Tehika. Tehika, you know. Tehika we. Well, there's a lot of different wheel. So, sometimes our brain locks wheel chakaya. Anyway, you know, it's kind of a cold, rough month. Some of the older people acknowledge that, you know, so, but the good thing about it, you know, February is a short month, right? Well, 1 day shorter, 2 days shorter, big deal. But you think about it, in about 3 months, here in March, April, you know, pretty soon people be getting ready to humblecha, get ready, because the Lakota New Year's getting ready to come. This year's winding down, and the New Year's coming, and kind of people are starting to get ready right now, thinking about it, you know. Once this cold part of the year passes through, you know, start getting ready for all the prayer season. Well, it's always prayer season every day, but, you know, the things we do, the ceremonies that we have, like the Wakia's coming back and you know, humblecha season, sun dance, and better get your chinchasha right away, and, you know, a lot of different things coming down, you know. Timsula season coming, you know. Last year, though, it seemed like summer really came and went, you know. My summer got messed up trying to be nice guy to other people, you know. And that's what's rough, you know. Anyway, you know, at least made it through here, and we've got some more cold coming, so get ready. I want to give a shout out to all our supporters around the world, and I always like to even wonder about them in the countries they live in, you know. Uchimaka, you know, Lila Tonka, but yet, you know, you could look at it in another way if you want, you know. She's really big, but yet in a lot of ways small. And I always, you know, being around in different parts of the world, I always, you know, think about how they're doing over there. Because I remember freezing ass in other countries, you know. But I tell you what, no, where we live, Lakota country, because we're right behind the Rocky Mountains here, and that Arctic Blitz shoots right down on us. And because we're a higher elevation, we catch it, you know, like last week, or right before last week, it was colder on the res than it was in Antarctica in the North Pole, you know. It was all around, like one day, it was 23 degrees below zero here and 23 degrees below zero in Antarctica. But the only difference was we were having like 35-mile wind gusts, and, you know. And when you have like 25-mile wind gusts, the temperature drops to like 50 below when you go out there, you know. So you can imagine, you know. So That's why we're colder than Antarctica, but like, it gets cold here. You know, I've been in different countries, cold, snow, you know, even to talk about, you know, even like in Russia, they have a lot of snow, a deep snow, but it wasn't like this. Or you're in the cities in like Vienna and Berlin and big cities, you know, they got them big tall buildings all around blocking the wind, even New York City. You know, it gets cold over there. But anyway, I always think about other countries and how they, and, you know, like our relatives up there in Winnipeg, because Winnipeg's right north of us, and they catch hell up in that area. You know, the winter. You know, it really it gets really cold. I was looking, trying to look for an example, you know. Like right around here, like right now outside here, it's like 20 degrees or something like that. Or let me see. Yeah, about 19 degrees. And that's warm, you know, to us. And looking at like up there in Winnipeg right now, they ain't having it too bad either. But you go up a little further than it, up there below zero. But from looking at this thing, I always see Ventuski or whatever you want to pronounce it. I always look at that, and I see it's a big one coming. You know, it's around up in Russia, Siberia, dropped down in the, it's in China. And usually that comes once it hits Alaska and past the Rockies, starts coming down this way. So, I mean, I'm hoping it don't, but there's a good possibility we're going to have another blitz coming. That's the way it is here, you know. You go down there, you see Washichu's throwing wood away, just piling it up, just burning it. They do that just to be hateful. They know we need wood up here. They know we need, but they live right down there, and man, they're wicked, stingy, possessive, and they're on Indian land, you know. Can't tell them that. I told them that a bunch of times, you know. Whoops, excuse me. But, you know, this country, you look at all the things going on in, you know, in this country, that the invasive species took over. It's a country full of enemies, you know. You go to different countries, they know who their enemies are. You know, you go to Russia, they know America's their enemy. I mean, America's mostly everybody's enemy. Every country knows who their enemies are. And they're not enemies with each other. They know who their enemies are, you know. So, they don't worry, you know. Go to smaller countries, Slovenia, even Italy and all them. They have crime in them countries, but nothing like over here, man. All the brutal murders they have over here in this country, all the rapes, kidnappings, and even you look at even the government, how the government and fights with each other, you know. And they just executed a guy the other day experimenting on some kind of a new drug, you know. This country, they like to murder. They like to kill. This guy, he was a murderer, right? So this country murders him. You know, they murder. That's how they live. That's their way of life. They use, and they try it out, nitrogen gas on him, you know. You know, yeah, I'm laughing, right? I'm laughing because, you know, that took 22 minutes to kill him. But they said that it worked. Yeah, it worked. Of course it worked. It took 22 minutes, you know, and they don't care, you know. He is jerking around. They say, oh, he didn't feel a thing. He didn't even know he was jerking around. He's out of it. He was out. He didn't know he was jerking around. He didn't know what was going on. So it was painless, you know. He's choking and, you know, all kinds of other stuff, jerking. But they're saying, no, he don't even feel it. Well, how the hell did they know? They think they know everything, right? Kind of crazy, you know. Giving them nitrogen gas. And they say it's now a proven method of execution. Well, hell, anything you can make a proven method of execution. They can put them there and burn them at the stake. You know, that's a proven method, you know. I mean, they used to do that. You know, guillotine. Hell, any, you want to kill somebody, there's many ways to do it. They're all proven methods of execution. But you see, this country, they do that. And I understand, you know, because I'm the same way. I get pretty upset when I hear about people murdering each other. And I mean, the way, like, killing these kids, and man, they do, like this one guy just like last summer, I think it was last summer, this woman's driving down the road and he cuts her off. So the woman flips him the bird. He had a little bitty peep squeak too, you know, and he had an Asian woman, and I don't know, he's Italian or some other kind of thing. Anyway, he whips out a gun and shoots inside of the car. You know, he shoots inside of the car, and what does he do? He kills a little 6-year-old child. You know, and then he gets away and has to hide like hell, you know, but they track him down. You know, it's easy to track people down nowadays, all the cameras all over. So they track him down, and I was looking at his trial. He went to trial. They just found him guilty. And he's sitting in court all doodaddered up, you know. Got a little ponytail, kind of tied up fancy stylish glasses, you know. Got a suit on, you know, and looking unshika, you know. You know, because, yeah, they found him guilty and gave him 50 years. And I was looking at that little peep squeak, you know, killing that 6-year-old baby, you know. And he's in California. Man, you know what? You look on the news and watch all the violence they have in them California prisons, man. I mean, California prison is violent. I mean, I seen it. You know, I know it. Violet, you know. That's why I say Leonard Peltier, he's not a violent man. You could prove it. He's been in there 48 years and never stabbed nobody. How do you do that? You know, usually you're in there a couple weeks. You're either going to have to fight. They got a phrase, I won't say it all because you used the word, the F word. Fight, F, or hit the fence. They got that phrase. Fight, F, or hit the fence, you know. Drink, walk slow and drink plenty water, you know, because that's the way of life in there. And this guy killed a kid. I remember this guy did that in Hawaiian Gardens in LA. So his brother was up in San Quentin. When he did that, they just went off to his brother, just killed his brother. How was it? You know? And then when they got around to it and caught him, they killed him too. You know, you kill kids, people don't like it. Or pedophiles or stuff like that. You know, there's our snitchers, a lot of people. But when you kill a kid, you ain't going to be walking the main line in peace. And I don't care how big and bad you think you are. You know, they'll get your ass. You know, so I looked at this guy. He's probably 5'4" or 5'5". Little peep squeak, you know. But when he's out there, he's running around with guns, you know. He had a little Italian guy or some kind of foreigner. I looked when he's first happened, when he got busted, I kind of researched him just for nosy curiosity. And every picture, he's at the gun range shooting off his guns and dressed up in camis and trying to look like a SWAT guy and all that stuff. And, you know, and then when he got busted, when they took a picture of him, he was looking real tough in the camera. Well, he wasn't looking tough like that when they found him guilty and they gave him 50 to life. You know? Man, you should have seen his little pitiful face, because now he's been sitting in jail since this happened. Now he's going to the big house. And for a murder like that, he's going to have to PC down. PC means protective custody. But the thing is, not just to talk about him, this country's a country of enemies. Do you believe that or don't you believe it? It's a country of enemies. And I tell you what, you know, it's really strange how. Let me see here. Better turn. You guys, your lines are open, so, you know, if you want to jump in, don't jump, you know. But, you know, if you want to speak, no blank airspace, you know. But if you want to speak, you know, if you see a little opening, jump in on it. But anyway, you know, like I was talking about, There's this out there in the world, you hear them crying about gun rights. I don't know why they're crying about gun rights, because they have gun rights. They just don't want you to be having a assault rifle or assault weapons, you know. But you see, they ain't trying to take their guns. But my point is this. Why the hell do you need guns if you ain't living, if you ain't over there and going to war? You know, why is that? I mean, you go to other countries, and I've been to other countries. You don't never see people packing guns. You are, if you see a guy with a gun, that's because he's probably a cop or some kind of security, like their biggest threat that ever other countries have is terrorists. You know, they look out for terrorists. But they don't look out for their neighbors. They don't look out for road ragers. I mean, this country, people get killed in Walmarts. This is without the cops. This country is full of enemies. They hate each other. They live next door to each other. Like I said, they go to Walmart together. They go to McDonald's together. They even have killings and rumbles inside of McDonald's and movie theaters. theme parks like Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Six Flags of America. You know, nothing but violence, you know. And it's just a wicked damn country. I mean, like I said, you go to other countries, you know, you go to somebody's house and visit, they ain't going to whip out. Over here, I've been down people's house and they say, hey, check this out. And they start showing off their guns they have. What the hell I want to see that for? You know, my cousin showed me his gun, you know. He lives a few miles away. Yeah, I never went back to his house again. And don't want him around my house. I don't like people packing guns or showing off that, like this or that, you know. Because, first of all, they don't know what it's like. They don't know what it's like. They're all fantasize and, you know, think they're tough and all that, like this guy. But what happens when you go to prison? Huh? What happens when you go to prison? They don't think of that part. So one guy went to prison. I was just reading this on the news. He got 3 years for assault with a deadly weapon. He terrorized some people. He beat somebody up, stabbed a guy, and, you know, bumper jacked him. Went to prison, got 3 years. While he is in prison, they had him in a cell with the guy while his cell partner killed him. So society, well, he's only doing 3 years. Why did you put him there with the killer? The guy that killed him was doing life with a possibility for a murder in Los Angeles. This guy was from Northern California. And the guy from Los Angeles was doing life with a possibility, but he also stabbed another inmate before this. So he was just got out of the hole, and I guess he was on the main line again when he did this. Right? So, the guy, the victim in the case, they're crying because he only had 3 years. He's going to get out in 3 years, blah, blah, blah. But he had a victim. He terrorized somebody and hurt somebody and went to prison. They showed a picture of him, had a tattoo on his face, looking like a gangster, you know, while his cell partner looked like a gangster too and killed him. So his cell partner, what the hell he do that for? He had life as a possibility. That doesn't mean life. Life as a possibility means you can get out in 7 years. You usually don't, but you can get out in 10 years. And this guy looked like he was only 20 years old when he went in there. He looks like he's 30 years old now in his 30s. You know? And then he stabbed somebody in prison. Well, once you stab somebody and you got life with a possibility, there goes your possibility. So now he kills this guy. So now you kill your cell partner. You end up going to, they call it walk-alone status. You know, walk-alone status means they don't put nobody around you. And I tell you what, the bender done that. No biggie. But the point is, you know, you're not around nobody. But usually, here's the thing. Why give up? Why give up? But people do that out here. That's my point in saying this. You're out here in the free world. Why you want to be packing guns, running around thinking you're tough? Don't you know that you're risking going to prison. When you have a gun in your house, a weapon, you call it for defense. Actually, you're standing right outside prison bars. You just don't see it. Because one day you may use that gun. And a lot of people do. And obviously it don't matter about self-defense, especially if you're a poor guy, you know. So what are you going to do? You're going to sit in prison, and this guy, you know, sitting and walk alone in the hole, all he can do is masturbate for the rest of his damn life. Now, what kind of man are you to do that? People don't see all the wickedness, all the psychotic, the mental things you go through when you're there. And you can fall into these things if you don't have a strong mind. That's why, you know, your bros will tell you in prison, good bros, they'll tell you, don't mess around with drugs. Don't gamble, and don't mess with homosexuals. They say that. And if you do those things, one day you can be out. And as hard as it is, you can learn to be careful. It's like this guy shot this kid, right? So he's going to prison for 50 years. And the kid he shot died in a car. Why? Not just because this guy shot him, but because his mother flipped him off. That's another thing about idiots around here. They like to flip people off. I see on Facebook, one of the favorite symbols Indians are using is flipping the bird. They think that looks cool. They think it looks tough. But, you know, you flip somebody off, you better watch out. You better watch out. Because that lady flipped this guy off while she had her six-year-old son in the back seat. Why would you be so stupid to risk your son's life because somebody cuts you off? Why don't you, you have to ignore things. As hard as it is, as difficult as it is, I ignore a lot of things in this world, a lot of stuff. I mean, 20 years ago, I wasn't like that. 30 years ago, I wasn't like that. But I tell you what, I wasn't like that, but I was still using more brains than the average Joe back then, you know? You know, you do not put your kids' life in danger. You don't do that. If you have a family and a child, you do not do that. But yet, I see guys doing that, you know, and people acting tough. Like I said, I try to help some people out. What do? Start waving guns around and acting bully. Well, they don't know me. They're putting their whole life in a threat. They're putting their child in a threat. You don't know people. And don't think you can do stuff and get away with it. Don't think you're that damn cool. because you ain't going to get away with nothing. The minute you do something, pack your bags before you do it. You know, this country is full of enemies. Like I said, you have all these different races of people here that hate each other. And this country is a country of people without culture, people with identity problems, people without spirituality. This country, I'm not saying other countries, I'm saying this country, because other countries know who their enemy is. You go to China and get pulled over by a cop, it's a Chinese cop. You go to court, it's a Chinese judge. Because you're in China, right? Their president, their leader's Chinese. But here, look it over here. You get pulled over by a damn European. Blue-eyed hater that hates you because you're an Indian. When you go to court, you see the same thing in court. All the way down the line, you're facing invasive species. Oh, yeah, they got some Africans on police force. They got some Mexicans. They even have some Indians, but they all turn American. And once they turn American, they're no value to humanity. This country is a country of enemies. They don't have no culture, so black people call themselves blacks. They ain't black. They're African. They don't have no culture. They lost. Or they're ashamed. Maybe they're ashamed to be called African, Swahili, you know, or a tribe from Africa, you know. They should be proud. There's beautiful cultures. All around the world, people should be proud of who they are. You know? Instead, I'm American. You ain't no damn American. You're a foreigner. You know? Even the Africans, you know? You ask them, yeah, I'm a black man. I'm a proud black man. Proud. Well, why are you calling yourself black if you're so proud? Why ain't you calling yourself Zulu? Or Yoruba, or Himba, or Swahili, or some other one. You know, they have all kinds of tribes, hundreds of tribes, just like us. I don't say I'm American. I say I'm Lakota. My bro says he's Apache. My other bro says he's Cherokee. You know, we all know we don't say we're American. But over here, you got people calling themselves American when they're not, when they're German, or when they're Swedish, or Dutch. They all got a culture. But they don't acknowledge their own cultures because they're ashamed of it. Germans don't want to be called Germans because they're ashamed of Hitler. Why be ashamed of that? Why be ashamed of that you're called a Nazi? Germans were some proud people. When they followed Hitler and they put him in the firing squad, they said, before they shot him, any last words, they said, Hail Hitler, and then they got shot. They were, you know, they're loyal. Yeah, I like loyal people. I met, You know, I met a couple old Nazis from the Nazi military, and they were pretty nice people, you know. I mean, I even got gifts from them, you know, because they like Lakotas, our natives from over here, you know. We don't have enemies. The only enemy we have is the American, the natives who call themselves American, are the ones that call themselves Mexican or stuff like that, you know. But we really don't have enemies, you know, because the whole world doesn't hate us. They hate the Americans, you know. But so over here in this country, they're all living next to an African, to a European, to a Chinese. Now they're just calling themselves Asians. They're not calling themselves Chinese or Japanese. Oh, I'm Asian, you know. They quit calling themselves Japanese because they're ashamed of what the American did to them in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. You know, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed because 50 of your people or whatever bombed Pearl Harbor. Only 50 people. You know, the whole country got to be ashamed. You know, people shouldn't be ashamed of who they are. Everybody should be proud. Quit calling yourself a white man. Quit calling yourself a black man. They tried calling us red men, but we, you know, some people went for it, but not me. I ain't red. I'm Lakota. I don't need to be called red man. You know, do I look red? I remember I was in Berlin one time. We did a gig, and this other German band was playing. The bass player's father, this bass player in another band, he brought his father. Hey, my father wants to meet you. You know, he didn't talk English, so the interpreter sat down. That guy looked at me up and down, and he said, how come you're not red? You know, he said, the interpreter. He said, they said you're red, but Indians are red people. I said, well, now you know it's a lie. Who told you we was red? Now you know it's a lie, right? I said, look, I took my shirt off. I even lifted my shirt up, showed him some bare-ass chest. I look it. Am I red? I showed him. He laughed, you know. He even gave us some money, donated to our band, you know. You know, but we're not color. We're not people of color. I mean, I know the white man wants to say he's white because white stands for cleanliness, virginity, holiness, sacred, purity. He wants you to think that about him, but he's not. Oh, we're for freedom. When he's over there supporting Israel, slaughtering Palestinians. You know, what's that company, pizza company? Man, I'm having a brain. Anyway, I seen a picture. Them sent a whole bunch of pizzas to the Israeli army while they're bombing, fighting Gaza to feed them. Pizza Hut. Yeah, Pizza Hut. You know? Way over here, but over there involved in some genocide, you know? So this country is a country of enemies. That's why they want guns. That's why they have guns. That's why they cry, oh, they're going to take our gun rights from us. I mean, I look at commercials. They're selling gun holsters. You know, you look at videos, the gun rights. you know. The only way to fight a bad man with a gun is they call it a good man with a gun. When a good man
okay,
has a gun, he ain't good no more. Yeah.
Well, it's Wayne here. I want to go ahead and chime in and let you know about the state of Ohio and the new the governor's policy within the state of Ohio. I want to take a step back to what you said about when you own a gun, you're just a prison bar away. I think that's what you said earlier in the program here. When you
yeah.
own a gun, you're a little bit closer to prison. That's actually true in the state of Ohio because back in the early 2000s, the state of Ohio actually had the concealed carry permit law within the state of Ohio. And if you shoot someone in self-defense or if you had justifiable cause to shoot someone in protection of yourself, it was the state's burden of proof. And the prosecutor's office, the burden of proof was on them. However, within the last 2 years, the governor of the state of Ohio has an open carry / stand your ground policy within the state, which means that any law-abiding citizen can carry a handgun. However, the burden of proof is no longer with the prosecutor's office for the state, municipal, county offices itself if you shoot someone with justifiable cause. So basically, if you shoot someone, the burden of proof is on the individual now who's carrying the gun in this new open carry state that was imposed by the governor. Now, with that being said, if someone's shot, you're right. You're going to jail. You're going to get locked up because the burden of proof is now on you if you shoot somebody. Not only if you shoot somebody, you're going to need your own lawyer on the spot, and pretty much you're going to need your own prosecutor hired to actually justify why you shot somebody. You're just justifying what you said. You're just within inches of being within a prison bars if you have an actual gun with that new stand your ground law, open carry law from the governor's office here in Ohio. So I just want to bring that up.
But,
so anyone listening
yeah,
in?
You know what, Wayne? The entire system, stand your ground law and all that stuff, like that guy who killed that kid in Florida, what is his name, George something? Anyway.
George Zimmerman?
Yeah, George Zimmerman. Stand your ground. All these laws, they sound good, in some way. But they only sound good for the Washichu. Because there's no way. Look, I mean, you can kill whoever you want. It depends on what color you are or what race you are. You're invasive species. Like right there in Ohio, they went and killed that little rice kid, 12 years old? The cops?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
The video showed him right in, I mean, it matters who's the one that's doing the shooting. So when I always laugh when they make these laws and the citizens in those states are citizens, they vote for that stuff. They all jump on it or they cry when it don't work their way. But it doesn't matter because if you shoot somebody, and nowadays in the country of enemies, if you shoot somebody, if somebody don't like you, you're a goner. Like them three Peckerwoods in Georgia who killed that jogger. Well, the head guy, the old guy, he was a cop. Had connection, DA's office and all this. They went and killed I forget his name, Arobi or Arab or what's his name. Anyway, they killed him. His son killed him. And they chased him down. Even a buddy down the street, they chased him in a pickup truck. Anyway, they thought they was getting away with it. The prosecutor even started hiding, helping them out at first. But even them, they went down. You know? And this girl in Georgia, another Georgia girl, who just killed an African guy, she thought she's going to get away with it. Well, they downed her. They downed her. So in Ohio, whoever pulls that trigger, you know, he can claim whatever he wants. He can claim, stand your ground, whatever. But if he's the wrong race and on the wrong side, none of them laws matter. Them laws sound good. But when you use a gun and kill somebody, if you're the right side of the race people, you're going to walk. But if you're on the wrong side, you're a goner. Because laws don't matter. What matters is your status in society. That's what matters. And if you think that you're in a good status, you might want to think twice. Because this country is a country of enemies. And the enemy is the one standing right next to you. And that's the only country in the world like that. Because you go all over the world, you know? Of course, you go to China, they might gripe about their government. They might gripe about this, or gripe about that, or gripe about their work. But yet, when it all comes around, they know they're Chinese. And they know America's the enemy. Same way with Russia. They ain't out there running around trying to kill each other all the time. I mean, I was in Russia for 10 years or so. Only seen 2 or 3 murders. You know? I mean, didn't see them, but on the news and stuff. No one's out there killing each other. You know, they're not into hating on each other like that. Over here, there's hate, real hate. They hate so bad. One Washichu just killed his wife a while back. His wife was a cop. This guy was a military Marine veteran. Even got a Purple Heart in Iraq or someplace over there, Afghanistan. Came back, and his wife was all proud of him. But what she didn't realize was he wasn't proud of her. She was a cop, and she was trying to be a good cop and all that. One day, somebody creeped up behind her and gunned her down and then took her gun from her and shot her in the face 2 times. They were saying, one, wow, man, who would do that? And they questioned him, and he, you know, he's a Washichu, could really put on the crying show and all that. So he got away with it, but he got caught because all the security cameras, his car was seen, and blah, 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 and then he was a little stupid, you know. Anyway, see, even his wife was living with the enemy. This country is full of enemies. That's why this guy just got sent for killing that 6-year-old kid. His mother flips off the enemy. And the enemy sees her flipping them off. She's the enemy. Because they were both different races. The kid was some other race. I don't know, some kind of Asian or something, I think, you know. The guy was kind of Italian kind of guy, you know. And I'm just messed up. This country's just like that. But I see Tanashi's on the line. Let me see if he wants. Hey, Tanashi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Sorry, I'm late, but shit, I just got back.
you just scratched your back.
I just pulled in, but I had some stuff I had to do real quick.
You just pulled it
but
in.
Anyway, I'm here. I was keeping it tight.
Hey. Hey. But you know, I'm getting my mind is starting to flow, so you better, we need a little prayer.
No, it was good listening to you guys. It was, you know, sitting here listening. That's good.
Oh, well,
talking about all the, talking
we'll
about.
Check, yeah.
I'm going to say a prayer real quick, and then we'll continue.
And you know, we need those prayers. This whole world needs prayers. Because you know what? The American don't even know how to live on a prayer. They have nothing. They have no culture. They have nothing. And they don't promote living good. They promote living evil. Everything they promote is bad. That's why they're some guy is a man, but he's trying to be on the Olympic swimming team or something, the women, you know? And then they just had some woman won she won the women's championship of some I think it was tennis or something like that, but they say she's the first LGBTQ woman. So in other words, she making a statement, but I don't believe that, because I think other women like her won. Remember Billie Jean King, you know?
Yep, Martina Navratilova.
In them days, people just wasn't promoting their private life. You know, now they're promoting this private life. So they make this country more eviler and eviler as they go, because this evil is telling your children it's all right to be a freak. It's all right to be a queer. It's all right to be a pothead. It's all right to be a gun toter and a killer. It's all right to drink champagne and make a toast. It's all right to do these things, you know? And even Obama, I remember they had some racist thing going on in up there in New Hampshire or someplace. They had a racist fight with people with Haas up on Washitu, you know, and they came into. So Obama invited them to the White House so they can have a beer together. How about some milk together? How about some lemonade together? But no, come in and have a beer together. You know, they just promote that they're the greatest alcoholics on earth, you know, they're, and everything. So how can you raise children in that kind of a lifestyle. You know, how can you raise good, decent children when every time they turn around, they don't know whether their mom's a woman or their dad's a man? You know, and they don't even see a sober person. Somebody's always a pothead or something else. You know, how many kids get to see a sober parent? You know, how many? Every one of them sees alcohol. Every one of them, now since pot's legal, they can just toot up whenever they want. You know? And everything they do is, that's why I say, this country's a country of enemies. The only country in the world like it. Because it's the only country in the world that's made up country. That's inhabited by invaders, by foreigners, by every enemy that hates each other all in one bunch. They work together. They go to school together. They walk in Walmart together. They drive down the highways together. They go to clubs together, of course, you know. And they are all like guns because they're allowed to have them, you know. So,
you know, getting back to that, this what you say about these guns, you know, America or these Washichus, when they talk about foreign aid to these other countries like Israel and Russia, there, that whatever the hell his name is, the foreign aid, they put a dollar amount. But really what that dollar amount is all arms, guns. They don't tell you that they're supplying the guns to these people, rockets and these weapons of mass destruction. They don't tell that part of it. They only say, oh, we're giving them foreign aid. This is how much it cost. They don't tell you what's in that package. It's all these guns, these weapons of destruction. That's what they're giving to these people, but yet they put a dollar amount on it so people think they're sending a bunch of money over there. But that's not true. It's all about the weapons. Like Country was saying, this so-called made-up America, that's one of the biggest money makers that these Washichus have, is destruction, kill, murder, weapons. So when they talk about big bucks like that, millions and millions of dollars, $400 million of aid to this country, they're talking about weapons. They're not talking about giving them potatoes or rice or, you know, anything good. It's all about mass destruction. The more chaos they create, the better off they feel. That's the Washichu. That's the Washichu mindset. They've always had that. Clear back in the day, they talk about Jesus Christ. They did that to him. Way back in there, in them days, weapons. It's all about guns. Today, it's all about rockets, drones, whatever, anything that could destroy, kill, maim. You know, look what Israel is doing to those people, those Palestinians. That's all American-made guns. All American-made artillery that's going to Israel to do that to those people of Gaza. Those people that pitied those Washichus, and they let them stay there because they had nowhere to go. You know, they move in. Look at what they're doing to them people that took them in because they had nowhere to go. The same thing here in America, is so-called made-up land of America. Now, Tanshi was talking about it, these guns. It's okay to carry guns. It's okay. You know, yeah, if me or Tanshi was to carry a gun, they'd throw us under the jail because we had a gun. It doesn't matter if it's legal or not. Because of the color of our skin and because of where we're from, they would throw us in jail. They'd make damn sure that we didn't get out. Look at Peltier. Look at what's happening to him. And it was proven he didn't do that. It was proven the gun, they never did find the gun that killed those guys. Never did. But because of the color of his skin, he still sits in prison today. So who is that? Who is it okay for to carry these guns? It's just these Washitos, these Peckerwoods. The color of your skin makes a big difference when it comes to this stand your ground and all this other stuff that I hear all these people talking about. If me and Tranchi were to try to do that and somebody attacked us and we defended ourselves, we'd still be convicted, even though we was in the right. You know?
But quit.
Yeah, you know, and but that's how these Washitos are. It's all about them carrying guns so they could kill us. That's what it's about.
Here. Pizza Hut delivered, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of pizzas, but they delivered pizzas to the soldiers of Israel who are massacring down Gaza. They're feeding them.
Yeah.
And you said it a while ago, Tanshi, you know, this country supplies all the killers with weapons. You know, when I was a truck driver, I was delivering, and I hate to admit this, but I was delivering missiles to airports that were being delivered to Japan and other countries. They weren't just for this country. Whoever's their friend, they help them out, like you said. So why don't they help out? Why don't they help feed the starving people in Africa? Or why don't they send 100,000 pizzas here to the rest? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can eat the pizza too, you know. But, you know, they don't know how to help in a good way. They only know how to help eliminate another people. That's all they know how to do. And you know, talking about what they're doing in Gaza, I heard them talking on the United Nations. And it's all a bunch of baloney. They ordered Israel to, they didn't tell them to stop. They just said, don't be careful about who you kill so you don't catch a war crime. You know what I mean? Be careful how you kill now, because we're getting pressed about you having war crimes. You see, on the United Nations, they're saying that. They're sounding all humanitarian. They ain't humanitarian at all, because that United Nations has their own military. They have their own jeeps, their own tanks, because I seen them on the streets of different countries wearing those green United Nations helmets. They got a military of their own to go down there and tell Israel, get the hell out, stop it now. That's what they're meant to be. They're meant to be the unity for peace. They're meant to go down there and, like they did in Iraq or whatever, their job is to make sure peace is going on. So they have the equipment. They even have a uniform. They wear those kind of green helmets and certain kind of uniform, and they have helicopters. They even everything. Their job is to police. They could go down there and do that now instead of sitting behind the microphone in Switzerland someplace with a bunch of idiots, ass suckers, and saying, please be careful, okay? We don't want to have to give you a war crime, you know? Please be careful, you know? You know, that could stop right now.
Yep.
But look here. Now, they're some Palestinian people. They're saying they helped Hamas. So they're talking about their voting and all of that stuff. And look at that, what's her name, Nikki Haley. I mean, she's right out in the open calling the Palestinians trash and to get out of Palestine. If you want to live with Hamas, go live with them, but get out of Palestine. You know, and Israel's going to take over the Gaza Strip. That's going to be theirs. Yep. It's already over and done with. That's the way it's going to be. Nobody can stop that because nobody wants to stop it. They're going to run all the Palestinians out of there, kill them, murder them, the way they're doing ethnic cleansing to the hilt. And they're going to run them out of there. And they're going to set up their they already had some scales of beachfront homes on the nice Palestinian beach and all that, how it's supposed to look in 20 years. They have a model drawn on somebody's desk. They took pictures of how it's going to look. Artists drew how it's going to look there. It's already done. It's just like they took us over our country. It was done. Once they came, it was done. Because there was nobody to stop them. There was nobody to come over here and say, hey, leave these Indians alone, or we're going to give them weapons to fight you. We're going to, you know, we're going to charge you. Nobody would do that. Country would do that, you know, because they were all in on it.
Yep.
The English,
yep.
The Germans, the Spaniards, they were all in on it. So there was nobody to stop them from their killing machine. And right now, these same people are over there supporting Israel in their bombing missions, their killing missions. And like John says, there's 26,000 dead Palestinians right now. And that's the ones they counted. There's probably more than that. And more than half of them are children and women and people that can't run and people that have no place to go. You know, they got them locked in there because, you know, they can't run, leave their borders. If they hop on boats and go out there in that Mediterranean, they're going to gun them down. Egypt is blocking them. Egypt's another sorry-ass country, you know. And they're all about sucking America's ass, Saudi Arabia and all them. You can imagine how wicked it is for them people, how they can't go no place. They can't leave. They can't go across the border. They'll get killed when they cross the border. They can't hide in a hospital because they say they're hiding in a hospital and boom, they kill them. They even invite them. They said they found this out. They told all the Palestinians, go over here to this special place and you'll be safe. And when they all showed up there, they bombed them and killed them. And the way they found out about it was because some Americans were with them. And the Americans hid with them and they got killed. So it became news. Israel's telling them, go over there in their sanctuary. It's like what they did to Bigfoot and Wounded Knee. Come down here and you're going to have sanctuary. So they come down here and catch them at Wounded Knee and massacre them. You know, that's their style. And that's what they're doing. They've been doing this for hundreds of years. So when we're going to see, you can't trust them. You know, when are people yep. going to see? When? You know, when are they going to see? Well, right now, Gaza's over with. They're going to finish killing them off, and they're taking over Gaza. It's already said and done. And the U.S. is behind it. You know? And England is behind it.
You know, Tanshi, going back to that, speaking of Israel, the thing about Israel and America is that there's that oil that they talk about. They already have a refinery made in that whole area there, and they're going to take over the oil. So all these countries like Saudi Arabia and them that think that they're getting a free ride over buddy-buddy with America and Israel. No, that's not the case. All those people that ain't paying attention now and that are siding with America in the Middle East there, they got a rude awakening because Israel and America are going to take over the oil there in the Middle East. That's the plan, is that Israel is going to control all that oil in the Middle East there before too long. And all these other countries that America is paying to, Saudi Arabia, giving them jets and all, they know what they gave those guys. They gave them inferior weapons. See? And so they know everything that these guys, the minute they do this, they're going to put these guys out of business too. So they're going to be in the same boat as those Palestinians, and they don't even see that happening, see? But they're going to be there. All those countries that are trying to sell out to America, to the UN, all these things, they're going to be in the same boat. And they better get ready for it now because, like I say, it's going to happen one way or another. Israel and America are in cahoots on that. And so is Germany, France, British, those people. They're all in cahoots on that. So those people in the Middle East that are trying to be peckerwoods better rethink the whole situation now before it's too late. That's the big plan. That they want Israel to control the OPEC.
Remember, America will use people and then throw them under the bus.
Yep, big time.
So all these countries that help in Israel and America right now, when it's time, they're going to get thrown under the bus. You know, the Jews are going to occupy the world is their plan. And they've been working on this for hundreds of years, 100 years already. They already have the entertainment field, you know, even what's his name, they call him the boss, Bruce Springsteen, he's a Jew. Bob Dylan's a Jew. All of them guys, they're all in on this thing, you know. Taylor Swift, I don't know if she's a Jew or not, but they're in big support of killing the Palestinians, you know. Not one of them is out there trying to stop it. All that money in Hollywood, they're not trying to stop it. They're going about their Grammy Awards, their Emmy Awards, all their award shows. Their life's going on normal. Even during Christmas holidays while they was killing Palestinians, you know. So everybody knows the color of who's who and what's what, you know. Everybody knows it, but there's nobody trying to stop it. And here's me and you and a few of us little nobodies to the world. We say quit it, but they don't care what we say. They just as soon come in and lock us up tomorrow morning, you know.
Yep.
You know, that's how we have to always be on our toes. Because Indians are natives or whatever you want to call our people now, because some don't want to be called indigenous, some want to be called aborigines, some want to be called natives, but none of them want to be called by their own tribe, because they don't know their tribe, or they're ashamed to say their tribe. They rather say they're American. You know, even Lakotas that know they're Lakotas say they're Americans. I got my own relatives like that. I know this, you know. So the thing about it is the whole world is in support of them killing, running them Palestinians out, you know. The only few people that talk about it are countries that don't have a voice. The Africans don't like it, you know. They don't like it. There's only the poor people of the world don't like it, you know. So it's pretty messed up how the world is, and how do you stop it, you know. You know, I was laughing because, you know, this country has so much homeless over here. So much homeless, you know. This country threw them under the bus. All them veterans you see walking around truck stops begging for money got thrown under the bus. And then they're so stupid, they carry a sign, "Combat veteran, can you help me out?" I already told that story, so I'm not going to tell it again, but I told one guy, oh, you're just running around with a sign saying I'm a world killer and you want money, you know. Why can't you just say you're a man in need? Why you got to boast about being a killer, you know, combat vet, F you know. You see, they're doing that. They're even, you know, homeless is getting so bad. I was reading they're going down the rivers in California and digging holes in the side of the banks and living in caves. Did you hear about that one? You know?
Yeah.
They're living in caves. There's so much homeless, they're living under the streets of Las Vegas. There's a homeless society out there that's so big, you wouldn't believe it, all across the country. Why is that? Who's these homeless people? They're all foreigners. They're Europeans and they're Africans. Because they're not at home. If they get their ass back to England or Scotland or Ireland or Germany, they wouldn't be living homeless. Or go back to Africa. You see, when we say Africa, right away we're racist. It's like if we say Jew, we're racist. Those two races there, we can't say nothing about them. You know, but I will, because it's the truth. Why be homeless when you got a big, beautiful country with good climate over there? Why complain about freezing your ass off when you got a beautiful country over there with palm trees and coconuts? You know? Why? You know? These Europeans at the truck stops calling themselves veterans, Americans, just go home. Go to Ireland. You'll find someone with your name, McKinney, McCoskey or whatever, or Smith, or Jones. Go over there. There's all these people with your same names over there. Go over there. That's your blood. That's your family, man. What the hell are you doing over here being homeless? You don't belong here. That's why you're homeless, because it's not your land, you know? And you know what? The other thing is, you know, like John says, mostly drug addicts. Yeah. Why do they turn to drugs? Why? I was looking at a video of Philadelphia, all these Europeans and Africans shooting up in the street, girls, women, you know, and Yeah, they have some Mexicans. There's no need for them doing that, you know. But the point of it is, how did people get off so bad in this drug deal? I mean, it grew so bad in my lifetime. In the last 50, when I was young, smoking pot was a crime. So hardly nobody was smoking pot out in public. And shooting heroin was a automatic prison sentence. And nobody really shot heroin. Heroin is too damn expensive. That's why people rob banks and stuff. But who invited these things to this country? You know, Rush Limbaugh said he wanted to sue the Indians because we invented tobacco. And Washichu are dying from cancer from tobacco. They said he's going to sue the Indians. You know, why don't people sue them for turning poppies into heroin and morphine? They're the ones.
Hey, Wombly?
Yeah.
It's Wayne here again. Hey, listen, I just want to go ahead and contribute to what's going on here, too. You know, what you're seeing is the same tactics that the Wasichu used on the Hasifa. So pretty much what you're seeing here as far as this drug usage goes, this is what happens when you strip someone of their culture, their identity, and their God, flat out. They performed these tactics well over 400-plus years ago when they brought the Hasifa over on the boat. That's the first thing they did is strip them of their identity, their culture, and their God. So, you know, they're doing it now to themselves. And sure enough, this is the end product. You see that big old row of, Kenniston Avenue over there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they're just having like a big skid row of doing nothing but drugs. That's because they all lost their identity, their culture, and their God. Because if they truly had a purpose, they wouldn't be doing that on the street. And I also like to mention one other thing, too, as well. You know, if these people were to go back to, you know, their own home country, you got to think about the consequences that they'll leave behind on us. Now, down south here in Ohio, from where I live, there's a nuclear reactor plant. If they were to leave, within 10 days to 2 weeks, the nuclear reactors would go unstable, and then we'll just be flooded with radiation. Just
yeah,
like over there in
come on,
Russia.
Wayne.
Or Ukraine.
Wayne, now give your own people some credit.
Right.
Give us some credit. Don't think we're so stupid that we don't know that. Give us some credit. Because I tell you what, our people are brilliant enough that they'll know how to shut that sucker down.
Yep.
And the other thing is we're brilliant and we have enough diplomacy around the world. We can get Russians or Chinese or some other race to come over here and say, here, take this nuclear thing out for us. They'll do it. Got to give us some credit because I don't care. If they want to leave, they can leave their shit behind. I don't care as long as they go. They can leave their hemorrhoids and everything behind, but get the hell on. Because you know what? And I don't care because we'll know how to deal with it. Because we're not only intelligent people, we're versatile people.
Right.
And look at you, Wayne. You're a pretty smart person. I'm sure we can think. It's like when they didn't know how to close that valve. Down there in the ocean, in the Gulf, you hear all this stupid stuff. You know, I know some Indians that could have went down there and shut that off in a couple days.
Yep.
But they ain't gonna let us do it. You know, there's a million ways to go do it, but nobody wants to give us credit. It's like that Navajo girl got on Rush Limbaugh's radio show and said she was so happy that the Americans came and took over this country or we would be a third world country. In other words, We need them for brain development. Without them, we will not be able to have any brain development. But you know what? We're pretty
damn smart people.
We're pretty damn smart people, our people. We can, and plus,
you know,
you said it earlier. You said it earlier.
You know,
what we have that they don't have is spirituality, our belief in Wakan Tanka. That's why I told she came on here and prayed. We have that. They don't.
Right.
You know, Tushy, going back to that, you know, look at all the things the Indians or the Lakota people have been telling them since way back in the day. All of it is coming true. How in the heck, since we were so damn primitive and so damn savage, how is it that everything we told them that was going to happen is happening today? And there's still some things that are going to happen that we told them that was going to happen. And we told them about who was here first. And they still don't believe that, see? And yet everything that they keep finding is pointing to what we've been telling them. So who's the stupid? Like I say, they believe the earth was flat. We knew it was round. You know? And yet, the Washichu tries to say that, how smart they are. You know? But yet, why is it that a group of Indians made a treaty that they're so damn afraid of, clear up to this day, that they don't want to honor it? Why is that? And they've been trying to make one like that since then, and they can't figure out how to do it. You know.
Well, we don't got no business.
We're some real intelligent people, and we still have them people. We're still that way.
Check this out. Okay, like a drone, for instance. These are brilliant, brilliant inventions. Drones, jets, airplanes, rockets, all these things. But they only know how to use them for one thing, and that's war. If I had a drone, if I was going to use a drone, what would I use a drone for? What would my people use a drone for? I'd probably put an Indian tacos and send it to Pine Ridge, you know?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
We use drones for peaceful things. I'm not saying Indian tacos. I'm kind of joking there. But the world is full of brilliant things that can be used for decent things, for good things, instead of self-destruction. Why don't they use things in peaceful things, you know? I mean, why make a jet so fast to go bomb another country? Why make a rocket so fast to bomb another country? You know, China or one of them just landed a thing on the moon, and here it landed upside down, you know. But you see, they're, you know, what's so good about going up there? What the hell? Why are they so much ego that they're having a race to see who can get here and there first?
Yep.
You know, when there's so much hunger and all that. You know, it gets me mad when those people are bombing them Palestinians, and down there, those Africans down there in Africa are some of the biggest, the only country that's telling them, standing up and saying, hey, you stop that. You know, they want to do something about it, but they're like us. We're Indians. We're not big enough to stop it.
Yep.
But it's like the poor nations don't like this stuff. If we had opportunity to use stuff, we would figure out more better, you know, like, of course, I wouldn't use a drone just to send an Indian taco to Pine Ridge, but you get the point. If I had a drone, I'd be using drones for, you know, different reasons. You know, if I had an airplane, you know, if I had whatever, I wouldn't be using it for a war machine. They use the brilliance of man for war. You know, they're going to the outer space for war. Their brain is on war. Their brain is on hate. And I don't care what color of a person, if they're an African, if they're a Lakota, if they're a Chinese, if you run with them Americans, then you're an American. It don't matter what colored ankles are in them boots, because you're going to think like them, you know. And as many Americans as they are in the American politics, in the court system, judges, Senate, you know, all that, why are they acting American? There's so much power on this country right now. There's Mexicans. There's millions of Mexicans. They don't even know who the hell they are. They don't know they're Apache. They don't know they're Yaqui. They don't know they're Azteca or what. Most of them, you know, they think they're Mexicans. Oh, I speak in my language, they say, you know, yo hablar en español, they say, you know. They don't know that's a pure European language, you know. They're so stupid. There's power out there to turn this all around and quit the bullshit. But the power, once people get power, they turn American. You know, even our people, look, you give our people a few dollars, and what do? They move down the road. Like, I know some Indians that I gave jobs to because they were drunk and having a hard time. And I gave them a job and helped them sober up. Now that they're sober up, they don't even talk to me. They got their own ranch now. They're living good. And now I'm a lowlife to them.
Yep.
You see? What, you know, once they get back on their feet, they turn into American.
Yep.
What the hell's going on with that? Because they start going to Catholic. Oh, I'm into the Bible now. So I'm into Christ. So they're going to Catholic Church. They're going to AA, and they know all those AA quotes, you know, those 12 steps or 10, or I don't know what they are. But they know that stuff. You see, once they don't see, we got our own culture. You know why I don't get high? I don't drink, smoke, or do nothing? It ain't because I'm a Catholic or Christian or American. It's because I'm Lakota. That's why. That's because the spirits in Wakrantanka took these drugs from me. He's so powerful that I didn't want to fall off the wagon. I tried to drink. I said, man, I don't like this. Too boring. Let me take some drinks here. All I did was throw it up. I couldn't drink no more. He was shooting heroin. I said, man, that heroin feels too damn good. I ain't going to stop that. Give me some more. And pretty soon I slam it, and I ain't getting high no more.
Yeah.
And everything starts getting me sick or bothering me, you know. And I don't like it no more, even cigarettes. You know, down the drain, because Wakrantanka took it from me. You know, spirituality took it from me. Not Christian, that ain't spirituality. That's bullshit. They support bombing Gaza, too. You know, Christians support bombing Gaza, too. Catholics support bombing Gaza, too. What's the Pope doing about bombing Gaza? Not a damn thing. You know? He's supposed to be a big guy. Where's the Dalai Lama at? Where's all these spiritual leaders in the world?
Well, they're not making any money off it.
Yeah, exactly. You see?
They're not making money.
But you see, our culture, if you want to sober up and you want to live a good life, there's Wakrantanka, you know? And I don't care what culture you are. There's a real God that you have, and he ain't Jesus Christ either. You have a real God. You have a real, he's the same God we all have. You just got to know about it. Well, we know about it. Lakota, we know about it. And some of the other tribes know about it that I know, because I've been in their ceremonies. I've been in their inipis and stuff, you know. We know about it. We have what they don't have. And if that, but people, like I said, once you step up into the American way of life, then you quit being human. You quit being, once you become an American, you quit being African, you quit being Chinese, you quit being Russian, you quit being Lakota, you quit being whatever once you become American. But once you find your own, you know, I ran across this Jamaican guy at a truck stop, and I knew this guy knew about the real God because he had power. You see, because he's Jamaican, he has some indigenous culture about him. And this country lost all their culture. That's why they don't call themselves Africans no more. They call themselves black. That's why they don't call themselves English or German no more. They call themselves white. And they tried to call us red. Well, I ain't red. And they tried to call the Asians yellow, man. You don't look yellow to me. Donald Trump looks more yellow than the Asian, you know? And,
yep.
You know,
hey, Wombly, you know, I just want to know why they're using government words. Yeah, why are they using government words all the time? You know, red, black, yellow, brown. You know, it's like a crayon box. Children identify with crayon boxes with colors. You know, that's the mentality, a childlike mentality. And, you know, most of all, these people who have come from Europe and they settled onto this land and they just won't leave, why can't they just call themselves pilgrim rather than trying to classify themselves as white or whatever? They should just go in and just call themselves pilgrims.
Well, of course they're pilgrims. But to them, a pilgrim is a Middle Eastern guy looking for what's that place? Remember they pray to the east?
The Mecca?
Yeah, they're looking for Mecca, you know. So they don't want to connect with them because they hate them people. Them Europeans hate them people, you know. The European hate, you know. But that's they hate when they come over here for some reason. When I was over there, what places over there, they're different kind of people, you know. And you meet Europeans that have culture. They're not racist, you know. I mean, because I've been in their houses and been around, and you know. But only in this country am I careful where I walk. I won't go walking through Kilgore or Valentine in the nighttime. Or down in, you know, or even in Rapid City, or up there in Myrtle, or Pier. Hell no. I ain't going to be walking on the road by myself. This place is the most dangerous place for an Indian to be, you know, and even other people, Africans, Chinese, or whatever. They walk around here alone, and they might not make it home. Especially the poor women. If you're a woman from another race, man, to the Wasichi, you're just a piece of meat. They'll use you and they'll kill you. That's why there's so many murdered indigenous women and African women and Asian women. You know, there's a lot of them. Because of them people, you know. And then, you know, like I said, it's only once they become Americanized, because for some reason they lost some identity, And I wish they didn't, you know. And there's some of them, you know, like I said, they always tell me, you can't paint with one brush. And I understand that. I understand that. The point, what I say is, it'll take me 100 years to sort it all out. So we ain't got time to sort it out. So it's like my bro Walking Bear that just showed up on the chat, you know. He's my Hossapa bro. He says this. One of his common things he always says is there's one group of people that are on that came over here to create mischief. You know, it's one group, one people he's talking about, you know, that are here to create mischief, and they do it, and they're good at it. And they steal money. The way they got so powerful is because when you kill babies, when you can go kill babies and children, you become feared. Because our people didn't want our babies and women to suffer because the Washichu was just gunning them down left and right. It ain't because we were weak. It ain't because our leaders were weak. You know, it's like I said, that lady flipped that guy out, the bird. So what did he do? He killed her son. That's what kind of people live in this country. When you kill a baby, when you can kill women and children, you can definitely have some power over another society. You know, anyway, you guys better get to talking or jumping in, Philip or whoever, because time's running out. And
real quick, I want to jump back in here too, Wombly. This is Wayne again. You know, one thing I noticed too about the individuals losing their culture, you know, the pilgrims or the pale faces, you know, they came over here from Europe. And they developed a society known in a so-called New World and developed a country. And what we've seen so far is, you know, development of feminism and whatnot. So now we have these pale faces with this new movement of theirs called the Passport Bros or whatever they're doing, because their own women have turned on them as well. So what are these guys doing, these pale face guys or Wasichu guys? They're going over to places like the eastern part of the world and trying to find a woman with real feminine and, you know, the values of a submissive woman to cater to the Wasichu. You see, that's how twisted and brainwashed they are. They want to go to another part of the world and try to find and attract another woman, you know?
Yeah, because they don't, you know, a woman with culture and ethnic way is always a hunger for them. But once they get it, they throw them under the bus like they do everything else. I don't know how many Lakota women ran off with them and came back because they were thrown under the bus. I have nieces like that, you know. I was telling Tanashi the other day about one woman in particular. She came back, and her kids, she has boys, three boys, and their dad is total Wasichu. So those kids came over here and started getting beat up by the Indian kids, you know. So she's really troubled over that, and then she has to send her kids back away from her to live where they came from. You see, it's bad, you know, because, you know, our women find out way too late. You know, we only have one chance in life to do things. And if we're not strong enough to stand by our children, then we're in trouble. Because sometimes women are not strong enough to stand by their children. You know? And I hate to say it. You know, I could get spanked good for saying that. But I see it. You know? And I see Lakota men walking around here with babies. Their mothers ran off and just dumped them, dumped their kids on them and left. You know, they hooked up with Pilgrim, like you say, sounded good to me. They hooked up with a Pilgrim and didn't want, and their family didn't want their Indian baby, so they just send them back to the dad. There's a lot of Lakota men running around here on the rest with their own, raising their kids without their moms. And it's hard for women to do that. But women, but men do it because, you know, we only have one way to live, and that's to live like a Lakota. You know? So when, you know, so our kids, like a couple of bros I know have kids from other cultures, and they're raising their kids, you know, kind of traditional, even learn Lakota, you know, and that's pretty important. I'm not trying to put down our women either, you know, at all. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, only question I have is what do our people, or women especially, see in the Wasitu? You know, if you look at them at, from a global perspective, you know.
Muzaska.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you look at it from, you know, from a perspective like that, you know, they're only 10% of the world's population. And their fertility rate is zero. For every pale face being for dying off, not one of them is being born to replace them. So what kind of true element do they really have in this world?
So let's not spend an hour on science here because we're running out of time, but let me tell you this.
Right.
Tonshi said it right now. The reason why our women do it is because, like, some of them met men in the military and they have a nice car. They have this, and, of course, we dream of that. But how often can a man meet somebody rich with a Cadillac? We you know, we ain't gonna, it's hard for us to do that, you know.
Yep.
But women, you know, our women are beautiful. They go up in Rapid City right away. There's bikers and everything there to scheme on them. And then they got their bony old man at home. He's, you know, look at Oonch with tore up jeans and stuff. And here's a guy in a Corvette, nice, you know, money, take them the Red Lobster and all that stuff. So they run off with these guys. They end up, and next thing, they're thrown under the bus. I've seen so many of them. One get moved off to North Carolina. She had to leave her kids and come back without them because of the way they were getting treated. You know, I see it so much. But that's why, like Tonshi said, Mazel Scott. You know, and it's hard for men, you know, to run off and find a woman with Mazel Ska. you know, I mean, you know, they might show up, but, you know, it's just not in our nature because, you know, we say, oh, man, I ain't going to run off with her, man, because if I take off with that woman with Mazel Ska, she's going to take me out there to get out there, and then some, her old man's going to walk back in the door, her ex, and beat, kill me or something, you know? I mean, you know, it's easy for our women to do it because they do it all the time. I watch them, and I feel bad. They look good. Yeah, man, I'm living good. I'm in North Carolina. I'm in Hollywood. We got this. And a little while later, they're back on the res with nothing. You know, this one girl ran off with a Arab or whatever you call, you know, one of those guys from over there.
So
she was all proud because he had money and all that in California, and then he dumped her.
Yep.
She came back to the res wearing dress like the Muslim women. The next thing, she got beat up with her Muslim dress on, you know?
God dang.
Because these Indian girls said, what the hell? We don't do that over here. You know, she came back trying to, you know, it's just like some of them came back wearing afros or they come back, you know. But right now it's changing because I'm starting to see our Indian girls dyeing their hair blonde. Even the guys are doing it, dyeing their hair blonde, man. Can you imagine that?
Damn, you know? It's a little bitch.
And we need to, you know, I mean, I appreciate people for what they are, and I don't ask nobody to change. If I have a friend, you know, a friend that's non-Indian, non-Native, and he hangs out with me, I don't want him to start trying to look like my people. I'll get pissed off. Hey, you take that damn feather off.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to do that. You're still my bro. What the hell? You don't need to. You know,
put that suit and tie back on.
Put that bull tie back on. You know, that's how I like it. I met you that way, so you stay that way. You know,
don't come
around all of a sudden just because you know me, show up with some braids on and all that. How with that? You know? I appreciate people for how they are.
Take that choker off. Hey, put that tie back on.
Yeah. But you see? Anyway, long story short, Philip, you got anything to say or are you over there snoozing away? Probably snoozing away. Anyway, go ahead, Tanshi. It's almost time to go, so better let Tanshi take over.
Oh, we'll say a prayer and close it down, you guys. Nie chcę cię trąkać, tak na techy kieszniku. A ich po nim czynkę uszula po. Johila trąkać, wyczozani. Oki u nim pia hoi czyczab. Lech tatil trąkać, uszula po. Hał, mi tak jasno.
And I appreciate that because, you know, basically, simply, his prayer is for us as a simple people. And, you know, we're humble and we pray for health and everything for everybody. That's because we have spirituality. That's why, you know, that's why we have our prayers in our language. And to my son, Lila Wopila Tanka, you know, for these prayers. Because that's what makes us different. This country is a country of enemies. Everybody's an enemy. They're killing each other. None of them have their own culture. They quit calling themselves by their own tribe, by their own people. They identify themselves as colors. I'm white. I'm black. I'm yellow. I'm brown. They got brown power. Well, they ain't brown. We're people.
Yeah.
We're tribes. We're people. Mulakota. You know, and we still have our culture. And thank you, my bro David, Matomani, Walking Bear. You know, and thank you all. We're gonna take off and Doksha Ke, come back next week. We'll be here.
Doksha,
see who we can see off. Talk, you know. But free Palestine. Let those people know. You know? And Doksha Ke. You know, your son should die at all. pszichém lecsukom. Én a toxopetológiai Juskin, aki van kis sziklákoktól.